Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Commander Rob Hansen, Nancy Hansen, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Good evening, or good morning, or good afternoon, whatever you want it to be, that's what it is. We're glad you're with us today. It's great to have you a part. I'm trying to get rid of a button there. Great to have you a part of Raising Expectations for this week of June the 14th. And, you know, it's exciting to see what God's doing in all of our lives. I always open the program the same way because we want you to know our wonderful team of people. And again, there's never a week go by that somebody doesn't say, now, as they said in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, who are those guys? So we're going to bring them in real quick. We have Dr. Paul Hall, a retired pastor, but not a theologian. He is. So he's with us each week, all the way from Lompoc, California. Good to see you, Paul. Great to see you, my friend, for 50 years, half a century. 50 years sounds better. Okay, and we also have Rob and Nancy Hansen, Commander Rob, who was an F-14 Tomcat pilot and served an Annapolis graduate, and the one who takes good care of him, his wonderful wife, Nancy. They're a special couple, and we're so thankful for both of them on our program. And today, we're going to do something very unique, and we're just looking forward to this, because you see, as you know, Raising Expectations, we're here to try to help you raise, to be encouraged in your expectations, to be encouraged about life. And a lot of times it has to do with freedom and our nation and what we're standing strong on as conservatives who believe as people of faith in the Judeo-Christian ethic and the Constitution of the United States of America. But today we're going to go to one of our other S's. We have freedom, we have finances, we have fun that we talk about coming up in the summer. We want to talk today about our two first ones, faith and family. And we have two very wonderful people, as you know, part of our team, Stephanie and Craig. He's a surgeon, a trauma surgeon. The Thayers are godly people, wonderful people, loved by everyone, especially all of us. And they have moved on a very special move. Stephanie, as you know, is a health and wellness coach. And the older we get, the more we'll be calling on her to take good care of us. But they have made the move from the West Coast to the East Coast. They're now in Georgia and the Peach State. A lot of good friends in Georgia, wonderful people there. And they had a special call in their lives on this move, and we wanted to hear about it. So Rob and Nancy, we were talking about it. Rob came up with this great idea, Steph, and he wanted to call it Steph and Tanks. A great adventure.
Excellent adventure.
Excellent adventure.
Seven Tanks, excellent adventure.
Road trip.
I know that movie.
Yeah, that was a good one. So we can borrow it, right, Rob? We can borrow that name. There's no problem.
With Freddy.
And Paul will come up with a name with me later on as we get going on it. But so, folks, we just want to turn it over at this time, and we want to do a welcome to them. Dr. Craig and Stephanie, we love you, and we appreciate you guys. And hey, the rest of us, let's welcome our family members and let's hear about your great adventure. We're so glad you're going to share with us today. All right. Take it away.
Where do we begin with our great adventure, babe? Yeah,
right. I don't know. Well, first of all, she's in Georgia and I'm in California. So,
that's not great. Yeah.
One of the job things that I have to do. So, I don't know. I could start, Steph had been bugging me for, I got to say, years. As California laws were changing and homeschooling and making it more restrictive, more laborious. Taxes. What's that?
Taxes.
Yes.
Taxes.
Fires.
Stupid, inappropriate moral laws, like it's okay for, it's at the judge's discretion for a 24-year-old to be with a 14-year-old in an inappropriate way. So her walking out of a Costco, making a comment, being called racist when she's not. She kept praying for a brick to hit me in the head. So
prayer warrior.
I went, yeah. So there were some gravel that was thrown at me during negotiations with the hospital, but it didn't quite get me moved until kind of the end of that. And then I said, yeah, let's just put our, I need to find out what I'm worth and where we'd want to go. So let's just kind of take it easy and look at states where we would want to move and whether we would want to move there at all. And so she would do the data analyst thing and look at its tax benefit versus, you know, how much your income would be there and what the adjustment for cost of living, et cetera, would be and what you need to make what you're making here in California. So, you know, we looked at Arizona and Texas and
how can we make criteria? Like, there has to be a Trader Joe's. If you don't have a Trader Joe's in your life, I'm very sorry.
Yeah. We're only 10 minutes away.
You're so lucky. Arizona was on the short list. It has to have seasons, outdoor activities. We wanted the sports. We didn't want to be in a big city, but we didn't want to be like out in the middle of nowhere, right? So there was more criteria than just how much you made. That was not.
That's true. Yeah, well, I mean, it's, you know, people, all that stuff, how the boys fit in, whether they'll have water polo swim, Boy Scouts. You know, it had to be a lot of criteria, really. So that wasn't an easy job. And then in the meantime, I wrote a Facebook thing like I do, which is, you know, how can we unite America, right? So I wrote this blog kind of thing about representing the United States on a water polo team in 2006 at World FINAs, which is like the Olympics, but it's for the old guys. And I played Germany and Czechoslovakia, Russia, Germany, and to represent, and you know this, Rob, man, you represent us in the ultimate way, downrange, right? So water polo is a battle on the water. It's physical. People, you know, there's a whole 2-hour movie about it. It's the most brutal sport of all, but it's not like being in a rocket ship that travels at whatever, that's armed to the T, that can take out a town. So, and with people chasing you at the same time. So, I just patriotism was my blog, and in doing so, it caused.
It's a Facebook post. It's not a blog.
Yeah. Okay. It's Facebook.
That works. Thank you. Sorry, you did.
Anyway, so one of my friends who I hadn't talked to in almost 40 years called me and just said, "Hey, you know, that was a great post. You know, I remember playing water polo." He swam with me on the same team until the end of middle school, and he was also going to the same school. And then he went to Bellarmine, which is like Jesuit in Sacramento.
A parochial all-boys school,
Catholic or Christian. So, and then he switched swim teams. He went from De Anza to Santa Clara, so it was Spitz and those guys. And so I hadn't seen him probably since my mom's funeral. And we just talked for 2.5 hours. And at the end, he's like, "What do you do?" And I go, "Well, I'm an old school general surgeon." And he goes, "Well, I'm the CEO of a hospital out here in Georgia, and I may need you." So that's where it started. That was the brick.
There you go. It
takes a fellow water polo player to throw a brick at a fellow water polo player. So hit me in the head.
I said, "Who are you talking to?" Because I could tell he was talking about swim, and he's like, "I think God just handed me a brick." I'm like, "What?" So crazy.
So we were going to go out to Tennessee anyway, and for about a week and a half, and check out Tennessee. And so Georgia's just south of that. So I said, "Okay, well, we'll be out there. We'll give you some dates, and we'll show up." And so we're in Tennessee, and I get this call from him saying, hey, I need your email address. And I'm like, okay. So I send him my email address. The next thing is I get an email from his admin saying, your itinerary is, you'll be staying at the farm, which is a gated community, private golf course, Tiger Woods' favorite course in the world.
By Bob Shaw.
Guest house, which is really a two-story like hotel. And then from 9 to 10, it'll be a meeting with him, the president of the multi-specialty group, and his chief nursing officer. The next hour is the chief medical officer. The next hour is a tour of the OR. The next
all day.
Yeah.
That's a CMO. Big brick.
Yeah. So it was like a recruiting. And I go, Jeff, I call him up. I go, I didn't bring a suit. I've got like a Lululemon collared shirt and a pair of Lululemon pants that look like slacks. I look like Johnny Cash or a pro golfer. Yeah. so another God moment of I just show up, you know, in front of these people and I'm just me. And within a week and a half, I got a call and they basically said, what are you making now? We want to match it. So, and with the cost of living, that's a raise. And I don't have to be the trauma medical director. So that responsibility can be cast upon someone who's been there like me for about the same time, but it's like 3 years older. So it's like a bigger brother. So like a perfect blend. And so it gave me chills when we're going line item by line item, your dollar amount for continued medical education, your time off, and in the meantime, when we were there for those 4 days, we toured around. What do we do, babe? That's your cue.
When you decide to move somewhere else, like how do you pick where you want to live really, right? I mean, you're so used to your town, you drive down the same road, you see the same things all the time, you kind of ignore some of the stuff that you see. Like for example, the town I grew up in, Placerville, it's called Hangtown. Like there's a guy that hangs from the main street and we're known for Gold Rush. If I drove by, it's probably not like my dream town, right? But I grew up there and I had a great upbringing. So it's kind of hard because when you're there, what we really noticed was the people were so nice, so kind, like just gracious and not in a hurry and just very, very different. And for both Craig and I growing up in California, it's all we know. And it's like you're on another planet. And I love the other planet, I just have to say. And we lived in pretty rural California, so not like some of the busier areas, but we just started driving around and dreaming and praying and having the boys see what they liked. You know, on the high list was airsoft, Rob. We had to have airsoft fields. That was very important. Nerf gun fields, very important also. So if anybody has teenage sons, you can imagine their idea of what matters is a little bit different than your idea. Mountain biking. But what I think is more profound or kind of important about this whole thing is we had so many signs and affirmations from God. And I think it's really hard to know if he's talking to you. Like, am I talking to myself or was that his voice or what? You know, but then when people repeat things or this shows up over and over or, you know, this door opens or this door closes, it's really neat to see. But within this process of really, I guess we've been at this almost a year that we had an idea something might happen. We have had so much spiritual attack. Like, you know, we have had very close friends be furious at us. Didn't even ask. They don't care that we're moving or that's a stupid idea. We've had illnesses. I can't even begin to explain what has happened. And so if any of you are in a situation where you know that you're supposed to go in a direction, but everything is fighting against you, I just encourage you. What I ran off to get before we started, I have Bible verses on index cards all over, and I speak the truth over us constantly because if that's happening, that means something really good is probably on the other side of it. And if you just stop, good, because you won't go do anything, right? You're just going to stay where you are. And so to change is hard. It's not easy at all. And now you know, Craig's there, I'm here. He's been going back and forth and just trying to make friends, like, or to say hello to someone. It's really weird when you don't know anybody in a place you moved to, right?
Yeah. You had COVID training on that, so you're all set.
COVID, yeah.
Good training. Ready. Ooh, now you know how to reach out.
Mask in weeks. I don't even know where my mask is. I just thought you should know that.
Yeah, so one of the other phenomena was, you know, I was given offers, or at least the concept. So we were out in Tennessee looking in Paris, Tennessee at that hospital. But I wanted to find a place that basically did the skill set that I have currently, right? So, I mean, one of them was just outpatient hernias all day long and not anything else, and that's not a fit. And when I walked through this hospital in Dalton, it was, I mean, when I, at the end of the day, when I walked out and was picked up by Steph, I just said, this is the place. I mean, it's got a, there's a lot of money here. Chick-fil-A began here. Home Depot began here. It's the carpet capital of the world. It's where the Trail of Tears began, when the Cherokee were exiled from their lands. This is the starting point of that.
Beautiful.
It's got a ton of, you know, Civil War history and strife. But I just felt this family had donated all this money, made a 5-story cancer center, and some other family donated for a children's center. And I'm like, this is a place I can make a difference.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what I've learned is that when you're a blip on Satan's screen, he doesn't attack the small crap. He goes after the big stuff. And I can't talk a lot because it's legal currently, but the attack has gone that far against my career. And it took a big turn for the better. I wouldn't say 180 degrees, more like 175 when attorneys work it out. But that 2 month, how long has it been? The first day was March 5th, I guess. Yeah,
so here's the interesting thing about the attack. So we had already bought and sold houses. We were in the process of him notifying partners. Like, literally everything happened after all the final decisions were made, which just also affirms, like, Satan's going for the jugular, right? And so it's been very, not just stressful, but I think then you start to question yourself and are we doing what we think we're called to, and why is this happening? And it's hard to make sense of things. And so just a lot of time spent for me personally in not giving fear validity, right? Because fear is not from God. And fear, I mean, they say 95% of the things you worry about never happen anyway, but it can be all consuming. And actually, in health coaching, the number one thing I hear is anxiety from people. And that's this fear-based thing, right? That's fear is like a punishment. God does not do that to us. He may reprimand us and ask us to repent, but we are not, he's not sitting here holding it over us, right? Sorry, babe, I took a tangent.
No, that's okay. But you've led me into another thing I've learned. So fear, you know, it's like, what the heck, man? The Bible says fear God. Why? I mean, I understand if you see him like Abraham did, or Moses, you know, or indirectly see, you know, you how they trembled, right? So but I understand it now. So if I'm fearing something else and not depending upon God, then I'm idolizing whatever I fear. False idol. So putting God first, and I've learned that through this process. What else was I thinking? Yeah. So, but it's okay to have doubt. And that was, I'm not going to get credit for this. It's a devotional I watched this morning. So interesting, in Mark 9, verse 24, it's the story of the kid with the demons in him. And the father runs up, Jesus, can you please fix my son? And Jesus gets kind of upset by looking at the way it was worded and says, you know, you need to have faith in me and it would be okay. And he says, I believe in you. I just need your help unbelieving, which means cure my doubt, right? So And then he said something and prayed to the child, and then the demon ran out, and the kid looked dead, and then the kid rose, and everybody around that was crowding and watching goes, wow, okay, look what he can do. So, you know, the key is having faith, and there's going to be doubt, but just ask for Jesus to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. Because when you go through this, you're like, okay, is it real? Am I too prideful? Pride's a blind sin, and you can have it and not know it. And so my prayers for myself were always wisdom and humility. So speed of hands and fast wisdom to know what to do when I need to when I'm operating. So endurance, because it's not just actually more fortitude, because it's not just physical endurance. It's having the balls to get into something that you got this big expanding hematoma that's right over the aorta, and you know you're going to enter God's country, and you got to get control of that right away. And wow. It may not happen. This person may die in your hands. So,
yeah, what if
I saw you smiling, babe? Saw you smiling.
I have a question for you guys. How are your kids adjusting? Did you really have to talk them into it, or were they ready to go?
So I think they're adjusting pretty well. We've been volunteering at a vacation Bible school at church this week, and it's funny, they do church at night here where I'm used to it during the day. But quite a few of the adults came over to me last night and actually said, your boys are doing so well. I can't believe it. A lot of times when people transplant, they don't adjust. You know, the South is a little bit different. And I think some of that is because we have homeschooled for such a long time, our boys are really comfortable talking to people of all ages. Like, they've made friends with little kids. They've made friends with adults. I mean, our 13-year-old's helping to run the tech for the main theater. And he said, Mom, I saw this little boy that was struggling. And so today I'm going to go find him, you know. So they're doing really well in that sense. Mm-hmm. When we said we wanted to leave, or, you know, they knew that we were talking about it, they didn't fight us on it because they heard the reasons. They knew why we wanted to. You know, we have 5 children total, 2 that are at home, and it will provide a much better quality of life for them. We hope our elders will come. We hope our extended family will come. The cost of living versus the income, there's just, our older children will have to have 2 income families. They will never be able to have the choice to stay home. That breaks my heart. If they want to work, great. If they want to stay home, I want that for them, right? And California is just so expensive for everything. But if it wasn't for COVID and some of the separating of some of those normal routines, I think it would have been that much harder, right? Mm-hmm. Because this last year, they're only 18 months apart, the ones that are at home. So they have each other, which really helps. And honestly, I love and hate tech as a parent, but technology has been a blessing in a lot of ways because it's allowed them to stay connected with their friends. They like play games and they're all talking to each other and they giggle. And so one of the struggles is that we're on East Coast time and their friends are on Pacific time and they don't get on until a little bit later. So I have been a horrible mother and I'm letting him stay up to like 12:30, and then I'm forcing him to go to bed. But they're happy as cats. They're still with their friends, right? So I think it's an adjustment for everybody. Everything you know is now different.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I, you know, found in my several moves in the military was, I think you end up placing yourself kind of last in the priority of things that you need to do. And the kids usually come first in terms of the schools, the neighborhoods, safety and security and so forth. I'm interested to find out how you guys had decided to end up in the home, in the neighborhood, in the community. Were you guided by a higher power, or did you guys just kind of look around, or were you sort of given some good options or inputs from Ralph Tank, from your friend who the CEO?
Well, I'll begin and I'll let you finish. So my job requires me to be 30 minutes from the hospital, so there's a radius automatically, right? So you limit your sub search, so to speak. And then there was an absolute miracle as far as a home. because everybody's moving out of LA, San Diego, and San Francisco to rural areas, our home price went way up. It was perfect time to sell.
Our area was the hottest market.
It sold in a day. But the same thing's going on in Georgia, South, North Carolina, Texas, Arizona, Idaho.
All over, right.
Yeah, all over. So that market, Steph would look at market and a home would be on for less than a day. So, but there was this one that was on for 6 months.
Almost 6 months. Hmm.
And so what did you see on this, the video of the house?
They actually had a video. So I had been watching it for a couple months. You know, I look and see what there is, but we didn't have the final contract. So I knew we couldn't offer. And our the most important thing to us, honestly, was property. So Craig needs to be within 20 minutes of the hospital to respond to emergency room. That depends on your level of severity for your hospital. So like if you're a level one, they live in house. They're in bunk beds or whatever. But as the levels go down, you can be in a certain zone. So we wanted property. Well, there are houses that are like 800 square feet. And then there are houses that are like Southern Plantation, massive. No, thank you. And so this house we'd watched for a little bit, and there was a video of it. And downstairs, yes, he has a storm room, but it's a safety bunker. And I knew when I saw it, because it also has the gun safes down there, I said, that guy is a fire guy. My mentor in health coaching, she's a retired nurse, and her husband's a retired fire captain. And I knew because they're all end of world lifer philosophy. So they all have like all these safety protocols. And I'm like, that is a fire guy's house. And then if you looked in our closet, it was full of scrubs. So we learned that the wife was a nurse and the husband was a fire guy. And so when we finally got there, we flew for Valentine's actually. We celebrate February 13th is like our day kind of, because Craig's always on call. And so we usually make each other dinner. He proposed to me on February 13th. So we're in Georgia, the 12th to the 14th. So we offer on this house. And that night I laughed. I said, did you think 17 years from now we would be buying a house in Georgia? He's like, no, absolutely not. But when we toured that was the first house we toured, and we absolutely loved it. It's beautiful. And I started writing a letter to that family that we wanted the house, right? And I think their contract expired in like 2 or 3 days, because those real estate contracts are 6 months. And we couldn't figure out why it was listed. It's the only thing I can think of is it's on a main road. So it's not totally silent, the property. But you know, there's not much on the market. Like, you've got to get what you can get. And so we saw the second house. I was like, no, that's not our house. So I'm finalizing the letter. The third house was beautiful, but it was like it was almost like a gated community and fancy, and we're really loud and we like to run around. The boys do like weapon battles all over the property. So I think we'd get kicked out. And so we said we want to offer, and we actually offered more. We kind of have a family number that we see that comes up a lot. So we offered kind of a weird number to them. And that day they had three offers. They hadn't had any offers. They had three offers. And they took our offer because of the letter. So when we were touring, we noticed they had a son who was a swimmer. Our boys are swimmers, right? So I just wrote all these different things of what we'll fill that house with. And so we've been super blessed by it. I mean, we're still half in boxes. It's a nicer home than I deserve. But our ultimate goal with it, we're putting in a pool and a huge backyard area. We want to be able to gather. We want this home to be a place for God. And we want to use it for his purpose. He's been amazingly generous in our lives. Although I will say, I think this is the hardest hurdle we've been through. You know, we all go through a lot of things in life, and this one's a doozy.
Yeah. The number came from my mom died when I was 18. My dad died when I was 20. And I inherited the house that I've lived in since I was two. In Cupertino, California. So that area, the crazy area of America where in Palo Alto, you bought a 750 square foot house for over $1 million. So I sold that in 2000, and because I'd been renting it for income to put me through school. And then just rentals. You know, they get torn up, and I didn't want to see the family house that way. So when I sold it, I treated myself to a car my dad would have loved to have, which is a Corvette. And so the plates came. The plates came. Another God moment. The plates came, and it said 4JTJ. So if you get a wedding and you get monogrammed, you know, napkins, it's going to say the first letter of the husband's name, the first letter of the wife's name, and the middle and the last name's initial, right? My mom's name's Julia. My dad's name's Jack. So it's 4 Jack Thayer and Julia Thayer. So, but then there was this number that was a conundrum to me for a lifetime, 495, which is what we offered on this house. So, but I've since then, I think I discovered where that number, what the number means. I think it's Isaiah 49:5, which, like I said, I wrote a blog on my Facebook about uniting America. But I also have a thing I used to say to my water polo team or any team that I'm a part of is strength and honor. And so my license plate on my car, on my other car, says strength and honor. And so in this, 495 is also strength and honor. And it's, and now the Lord speaks, the one who formed me in my mother's womb to be his servant, me, who commissioned me to bring Israel back to him, not me, but maybe I'm doing something. The Lord has honored me, and my God has given me strength. So he's honored and given me strength. So just in that one thing, it's got strength and honor, which is kind of odd and a coincidence, but maybe not. So anyway, so it just speaks to me saying what I've thought before is that somewhere I need to finish the book I'm writing, and I need to get into public speaking and motivate people and unite America.
Man, that was a good one. I read it. It's a good one.
Yeah. Well, I think you should tell us about your little road trip there.
Yeah, we wish we could have posted the video, especially if you're getting out of the car.
Yeah, when you were that was not planned. So I just realized
it was inspiration. Yeah, it was inspiration.
I had not finished my conclusion of the Score versus Heath bar. I'm not finished whether plain Lay's potato chips were better than the barbecue. So yeah. I had to finish that. And then I realized, you know what? I haven't shown people the stupid car. So there's a Facebook Live. You can actually follow the whole trip live. It's kind of funny. And I showed the cockpit because it clearly was more cramped in by all the stuff in the passenger.
Hold on, he's 6 foot five. He's in a Subaru WRX, so he's a big dude, very broad shoulders, in kind of a compactish car. Okay, carry on.
Yeah, so I have my survival Yeti and my chips and stuff that I've consumed. But anyway, so I show that, and I show the back seat, which is full of the ammunition and stuff that I can't imagine getting pulled over in Alabama. Or New Mexico, apparently. Luckily, I got through there quickly. But yeah, and just a bunch of other odds and ends. And then my dog's area in the back where she's chewed through the pillow, and it's just a, it looks like a poo emoji because it's just brown fluff. and so then I walk around to the passenger side to show that side, and then I open the passenger front seat door, and out falls the Core bar wrappers and the Lay's potato chip wrappers and the Starbucks double shot.
His wife. Mm-mm, no. Yeah.
Visualize a landfill. Okay.
If you're stressed, you eat sugars and fats. This is not a good idea.
Well, that's what I did.
Yeah,
and I even apologized in the live saying, you know, all you health coaches watching, please ignore this one.
At the VBS yesterday, they give out food every night for the volunteers, right? And they had bean burritos, and so I started eating one. And the youth pastor, he's like, "Oh, you need to do a live with that." I said, "Why?" He goes, "You can't eat that." I said, "Sure I can. I like all the foods that you like." He goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "I believe in balance, not in never having food."
Right.
He's like, "Amen." Hey.
Amen. Did you ask him for some fudge? That would have been good.
They didn't have cookies. I didn't have it.
Did they have the vice president's no face, but the hair around it, the cookie shapes? I don't know if you read about that, but okay.
No.
Well, I won't expand. That was
It could be dangerous. Something.
Yeah.
But you live dangerously anyway, so.
I hope you saved those videos, like Rob said, because they were so good.
I think they, aren't they? How do I can? I've never figured out because I'm not that techie, but to go back and look at my lives. But.
I can say them. Well, oh. He's chasing a Porsche, and I'm like, what are you doing?
That was another miracle. So in New Mexico, I get behind this Porsche, and he's my pace car. So, in and out of stuff. I go, I better turn this off because it's going to freak Steph out. I mean, she's going to feel like if it was on the front dash, you feel like you're in the car.
True.
And she's going to call me while I'm doing this. Anyway.
Fantastic.
So I lost that guy. He had Georgia plates. I'm like, wow, that's interesting. Out here in New Mexico, I got Georgia plates and a Porsche GT2. And so literally 2 days later, I pull on to and through Alabama coming up from Shreveport, Louisiana. And there he is. Same plate, same car, same look like a professor kind of guy. I go, what are the odds of that?
Yeah.
We used to call that, Paul, remember, in West Texas, we say we're going to get in their slipstream. Is that the right word, Rob? Their slipstream, getting close and save gas. Remember?
Yeah.
Draft them.
Draft them. That was it. Draft. That was fun. We felt like we were with you. Also, let us pray for it. We could think, wow, they're about there now, so we can be thinking about them, what they're doing, what he's doing.
And then poor Stephanie gets there, and her moving truck gets there, and the movers don't show up. I felt so bad for you. I could see the moving truck in the background.
Story, let me tell
you. Sitting on the floor.
So I buy a van. I buy a van there the day we land. I think we've taken it to the dealership, a used van, 5 times, 6 times. It has nothing but problems with it. We stay at an Airbnb. It is full of cockroaches. So the second night, I make the boys sleep out in the van with me in the rain because I'm like, we're not having cockroaches all over our stuff. I lock myself out of the Airbnb twice. So we finally get to the house. What else happened? Oh, apparently we had COVID. We don't know how we had COVID, but one of their friends was super sick, so we had to test. So then we have to quarantine, so which forces my boys not to be able to get in, swim, and make friends or any of those things, right? Well, I don't have it, but they had it. And, but the blessing in that is one of my children was a little bit nervous and would wear a mask everywhere. Well, guess what? He's not wearing a mask anywhere now. So
it's
been a blessing in disguise. The moving truck shows up. No movers come for 2.5 days. Feel super bad for him. He's an amazing guy, but no crews. It was just like, that's what I mean by spiritual warfare. I mean, it was just coming heavy, constant. And when the car wouldn't work again, I just started laughing. Okay. You're not going to beat me with this. You know, like, this is constant.
That's right.
You have to you're either going to laugh or cry. So your kids are watching. I recommend laughing.
We've got a quick question on that bridge. I remember when you all, Tank, when you guys went to up near Chattanooga, I guess where the bridge crossed the valley, you went through the narrow rocks like the volcanic looking. I thought that your quote was so great. I wrote it down, Stephanie. I thought it was great where it said, and you had your boy in front of you. One of your sons was in front of you. I couldn't tell. But when you turned around and you said this, the look was hilarious. But you said, you looked and says, there's the bridge for normal people. And you took the cap and said, here's the stupid bridge for the rest of us.
It's a suspension bridge. Yeah. It's really cool out there. It's called Rock City. It's on Outlook Mountain, and you can see 7 states. Beautiful. Yeah. But that bridge is like a swinging bridge, and sure, they want to do it. And I'm totally afraid of heights. So I'm just trying, and I'm like.
All American boys, right, Rob? Yeah, all American boys.
Absolutely. You betcha.
I love my children.
Yeah, and I was the caboose. So as soon as she got off in front, the boys went crazy.
Oh,
let's watch dad hold on for dear life.
Can you fly, Dad?
When you got a high center of gravity, this looks pretty funny.
Michael,
as I'm hanging. It felt like it.
Goodness.
Yeah, but you know, the cup's half full for me. So, I mean, that's the other thing, right? You could take this feeling like you're getting punched around and you're in deep water and barely keeping your nose above it. But I mean, it's given me a chance. That was my second oldest daughter and the mom of my grandbaby. So I'm staying here with my two daughters, so I get time with them. I got to visit with Steph's kind of pseudo mom yesterday, Vicky. And Monday I'll go visit with a friend of mine who was a nurse in the operating room, who I literally got to walk to the end of his life, who was a non-believer, and the story of him raising his, because he couldn't raise his left hand, and saying, up, up, up. I prayed for him for a few days, and he converted, man. He saw God, and unequivocally, that's another story. So,
you'll see his wife.
Yeah, I'll see her, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so, hey, I got to go to a meeting yesterday, and I got to go to the OR and visit all the people that I've been with for 29 years. So, cups half full.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
When do you get to go back to Georgia now, Tank?
That's a damn good question.
Oh.
I don't know. Yeah.
I have to
give the answers. So, yeah.
You're hard to replace, right, Steph? Hard to replace, but God's got it worked out.
Yes, he's unique.
Yeah.
That's right, totally.
It's exciting to see what God's going to do with me. And one of the other things I learned was, you know, a lot of prayer is based on, I watch my boys pray, and it's all about them and sleep and what they want. And, you know, and that's fine. That's not a bad prayer. I mean, that says pray, be specific, you know, and it'll get granted. So, but the other one I learned recently through another sermon was focus on the will of God. So don't make it about you, but just say, hey, God, you know, make it so. Whatever you want me to do, here I am.
Not my will, but thy will be done.
That's right.
Which is hard, right?
That's right. I'm done. That's one thing I wanted to say. I couldn't help but think about it. I took all that time writing at Zig Ziglar's command, which Zig speaks, you pretty well do. He's the mentor. And on legitimate faith, you know, and he said, Joe, you will finish this. I said, I got it. But, you know, I couldn't help but think about this verse and what you were saying, Tank. Paul jumping on this. I mean, we've talked about it, Rob.
Please do. Give me light.
Yeah, 11.
See what you guys think.
I just think Hebrews chapter 11, of course, my book, Legitimate Faith, is on the first, 12 verses. 14 verses of it, but it says now, and you know this, but it's so great to hear it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, right? For by it the elders obtained good news and testimony. And this is certainly, there it is, you got it. By faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. So you may not even see him yet, but you see that half full cup. And, you know, he's just got it all worked out. You know, he's got it set. And the neat thing is, like you said, Stephanie, we were all saying, there's a reason that you're there. There's a reason. We're expanding. You know, our station's moving to Houston. It's going to Houston, Texas, you know, and Rob's already in Arizona with Nancy. So, you know, who knows what's going on.
But we claimed asylum. It's funny that way. Just kidding.
Said it, yeah. So you can't.
Hi, Aubrey.
Yeah. He's just working. I love that thing. It's already done. You can't see it, but because you can't see it, it means nothing. God not only sees it, he prepared it and did it. Right. Wow.
What about you, Paul? Any comments?
You know what? I know we've just got a couple minutes, but I'm really excited about what God's doing in your life, Tank.
Amen.
As I've listened, I try to be a focused listener, you know, and what we're talking about, I think, is in the arena of spiritual warfare. You know, it says in Ephesians that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities and rulers and chieftains in high places. And, you know, Rob, I was thinking the only experience I've ever had of the excitement of a cockpit was going to Fighter Town in El Toro and flying a simulator, you know, a Tomcat simulator. And I managed to get blown out of the sky a couple times. but part of the training that they gave us, we had about a 45 minute ground school kind of thing. And one thing that one of the instructors said, and maybe you can affirm this or not, but he said, we don't rise to the occasion, we default to our level of training. And I was thinking, you know, about all the stress tank and step that you face and things like that. And some say we need a certain amount of stress, but in the end, I think it comes down to a calm and rational and controlled approach to things. So my word of encouragement to you, Tank, especially if you're looking at things that you apparently don't see the end to right now, just stay focused on where the Lord has brought you, because every day is a learning experience and you're putting more arrows in your quiver. And I can tell you that as you are hardened by the battle, and I have to make an aside really quickly. Anytime a pastor, or I found in my experience over 50 years, you start talking about spiritual warfare, people in the congregation, it's like a deer in the headlights. You know, oh, here we go again, spiritual warfare. But it's real. It's what
That's
we
right.
do every day.
Yeah.
And Paul tells us, you better get your armor on because it's going to happen. And if you don't have your mind straight, you don't have your breastplate and all the other accoutrements that go along with that, you're going to get whipped. And so I just want to let you know that part of my spiritual battle, I kind of live vicariously sometimes through other people and what God's taken them through. It's so much fun to watch, and it's so much fun to be a part. But I count it a blessing to be a part of your lives and to pray for you and to intercede for you. Last word on this, intercession means praying for people with a capital F, not a little F. You know, people say, well, yeah, sure, I'll pray for you. Okay, well, God bless them. But to intercede for somebody is to say, Lord, in as much as I can stand in the gap for them, I'm willing to do that. Yes, you know, whatever that cost is, you know. So I'm praying for you. I can't wait to hear what God's doing in all that.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, great stuff. Keep up.
Thank you. Thank you.
Have a minute or two, or are we?
Go ahead, Steph. Go ahead. Okay. Yeah, we have.
So I thank you, Paul. Those are really kind words. When I started health coaching, I didn't realize how much personal development I would personally get. I didn't think that was part of the deal. And I quickly realized, and I say this a lot, I wanted to change who was at my table. And not that there was anything wrong with the people that were around me, but, you know, it was just day to day and a little bit more gossip. And yes, they love the Lord, but just not what I wanted, right? And what has completely transformed in a little over 2 years, the amount of people that we had praying for us yesterday, and I don't mean like a little bit. I mean, like, I had sheets of scriptures sent to us. I had voice texts over. I had, like, it gives me the chills to have people in your life that will do that for you and that you will do for them, and they take it very seriously. There is so much power in that. And it doesn't mean there's going to be a yes to what you want, but God is going to show up. He hears our petitions, and it's the most beautiful, beautiful thing. And I just encourage you, if you don't understand faith, if you don't know, reach out to someone that just gets it a little bit more than you, because it's a journey and a process. And if you want that to change, you're going to have to get around probably someone different, right? And so I appreciate it so much.
Hey, amen.
Well, here's the marriage counseling thing. So if viewer or people listening are gentle Christians or non-Christians, you know, the key is in marriage is to be yoked. So it kind of requires to be of the same faith and same belief. And that said, I bring that up only because I got to commend Steph, because when you're held together by the neck and one's going on through war and dragging the other through it, thank you, Steph.
Mm-hmm. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. That's the thing, is relationships about being kind, even not in marriage, right? Just seeing each other and be gracious to each other. We don't always pick what happens, but we do pick how we respond. And I'll just tell you, I like responding emotionally, but I have worked on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're doing great.
Well, there's always an answer. God's always got it. We got like 2 minutes. I'm just, what a blessing to know. We'll continue to pray. I just keep thinking, be still. Sometimes, like you've said in the past, and Tank, we talked once, just be still sometimes. Just sit down quietly, listen to the crickets, and talk to God, you know, and just listen to him. He's got
that one too.
Oh, do you? There you go. Way to go. That's great.
Flipping me, yeah. They go everywhere with me.
Take them with you. Used to give those out when I was a single adult pastor. Used to say, Carrie, here's the one for this week, folks. Used to carry his ex. Exactly right. That's it. Paul, thanks for your words and sharing with us. Pastor Paul, love you, buddy. And Rob and Nancy, we love you guys too. Thanks for your prayers, I know. And we're praying to Aho too. Aho, it's got to go. That's my new song. All right, for you. Aho, it's got to go. So
it's Aho.
It just didn't sound as good in the song.
Aho.
Aho sounded better.
Oh, I know.
It got a lot
That's
more
what I think it is right now.
That's funny.
So anyway, Tank, give me a holler if you stay around. Here we'll have you visit in Rockland if you
this is our time for coffee too. There you go.
You know what's
going on. If you want to follow his journey on Facebook, you can watch his videos. It's Tank Thayer, that's what he's on there as, and he's pretty funny.
What is it again, Steph? What is it?
Tank Thayer. So our last name is Thayer, so his first name looks like that.
Okay. That's my real name. I'm really a doctor. I play one on TV.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Well, hey, stay with me, guys. We'll say goodbye to everybody. We got like 40 seconds. Everybody, we're glad you tuned in with us today. We are a family. We hope you have a family like this. We hope you have people that care about you the way we all care about each other here. And, you know, our prayers are that God answers your needs, meets you at the deepest points of those needs, and that you listen and look and follow what he says. And we're going to continue to pray for the Thayers. It's part of our family. Great things will be coming. We'll be sharing it more with you as the time goes on and things are coming along. Next week, we're going to have Richard Ray from Dallas Fox News with a new movie that's coming out called The Innocents. He'll be sharing that with us. We're going to have a great week. So tune in next week. And Tank and Stephanie, we love you. Great things that you share. Thanks for letting that call become real. Tank, you're a great man, sir. And we know that
you're both great.
Yeah. All right. All right. Well, we're going to sign off right on time. Everybody say so long. We'll see you next week on Raising Expectations. Have a great
bye.
Later, everyone.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous. But most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556. Or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.